Discrete events versus continuous processes. Earlier in the chapter, we saw that someone could actually internalize an external loss. The player or spectator could take the loss of the game as a personal matter and internalize what is properly an external loss. Although someone could do it, it's a little hard to imagine someone going through the stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance over a basketball game. Why? Because the game is a discrete event, an activity with a defined ending point. However, internalizing an external loss is a lot easier to do with the other type of loss-producing activity, a continuous process, an activity that has no clearly defined end. Losses from continuous processes are much more prone to become internalized because, like all internal losses, there is no predetermined ending point. In a continuous process, the participant gets to continuously make and remake decisions that can affect how much money he makes or loses. On the other hand, a discrete event, for example, a football game, roulette, blackjack, or other casino game, has a defined ending point, which is characteristic of external losses. A loss resulting from a discrete event is definitive and not open to interpretation. When I bet on a Kentucky basketball game and Kentucky loses, it is a discrete event and an external loss that I can't really argue with. Or if I bet on 21 red in roulette and the ball lands on 17 black, I lost. Period. The markets fall into the category of continuous process because market positions have no predetermined ending point. Granted, the market has a defined open and close for the day, but a market position continues beyond the market's close and could go on forever. Even though a loss in the market is an external loss, since money is external, not internal, it is also the result of a continuous process and prone to becoming an internal loss. Why? In a continuous process, there is no certainty of how or when the open market position will end. That uncertainty about the future triggers the five stages of internal loss, which means the loss has become internalized, personalized, and subjective. Because a losing market position is a continuous process, nothing forces you to acknowledge it as a loss. There's just you, your money, and the market as a silent thief. So as long as your money holds out, you can continue to kid yourself that the position is a winner that just hasn't gone your way yet. The position may be losing money, but you tell yourself it's not a loss because you haven't closed the position yet. This is especially true for stock market positions because when you own the stock outright, no margin call is going to force you to call a loss a loss. Think of the differences between discrete events and continuous processes this way. Would you lose more money or less money at the racetrack if they stopped the race in the middle and reopened the betting window? That is to say, if you had the opportunity to either 1. Leave your bet, or 2. Make a second bet on another horse. You sat down before the race, looked at the racing form, and said, "Okay, number 4 is obviously the class horse, but he's 3-2 and I'm not going to bet the favorite because there's not enough payoff. I kind of like number 7 and he's 5-3, but 9 looks okay and he's 7-1. I'll go with 9. Halfway through the race, who's in front? Number 7. If they could stop the race and let you bet again, what would you do? You would say, "I knew it! I liked 7 to begin with. I should have picked 7. You would go to the betting window and make a new bet on number 7. Who wins? Number 4. In the markets, they never close the window. It's open all the time, so you continuously get to remake that decision and constantly make new bets. When I was in Cleveland managing the office for Jack Salmon's regional firm, I had an experience that demonstrates this concept of internalizing external losses. One time, a lot of my customers got short the lumber market. They were big cash lumber hedgers and knew that market as well as anybody. Their analysis, and mine too, was that the market was overpriced and due for a fall. so we got short. Well, the market rallied sharply. The market opened limit up and stayed limit up for 4 days in a row. There was no trading in the futures, so we couldn't get out of our shorts. On the fifth day, the market started to trade, but we didn't get out. We wanted to watch the market to see if it would start back down. Well, it didn't. After a few more days of the market trading during the day but closing limit up, we all got out of our shorts. God, it was awful. It had wiped out 90% of the office equity run. I called Jack Salmon down in St. Louis. Look, I just blew up the office. There is no more money, no more business. It's all gone. I've destroyed it. What happened? We were short lumber and the market kept going up and, well, whose idea was the trade? It was the customer's idea, but, okay, how many lawsuits do we have? We don't have any lawsuits. These guys are good guys. They're not going to sue anybody. But how many debits do we have? We don't have any debits. Don't you understand? We lost all the money. Wait a minute. Let me see if I understand this. We have no lawsuits, no debits, and no customer complaints. Right. Well, that just means you've got to go back to work, boy. You've got to pick up the phone again. This is part of the business. This is part of the deal. People get on the wrong side of the market and they lose all their money. Then the broker has to decide, do I want to stay in the business or get out of the business? Want to get out? Get out. Want to stay in? You don't have any problems. You just have to go back to work. Not only had I failed to see that losses were just part of the business, but I had gone so far as to personalize someone else's losses. If only I had known then what I'm writing now.